Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight on the Manic Monday show, it's going to be crazy and it's going to be fun. Michelle, are you ready?
Whoa, what a freaking intro. That was awesome. Hello,
are
everybody. Manic Mondays. Hi, Ron.
Are you ready?
I am so pumped. I'm fist pumping over here, okay?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Are you
no,
ready?
No, I'm not ready.
I'm so excited.
And we're going to kick it off with our theme song tonight, Manic Monday, with Michelle Costa and Ron Red.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for choosing to be here with us tonight here on the Rad Reality Show. Today is March 5th, 2012, and we are now only 6 days away from daylight savings time. Y'all are going to be glad when Sunday rolls around so that I'm finally going to shut up about this, but I'm just anxious for the longer days and for summer to get here. So anyway, my name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be co-hosting tonight along with my friend and clip master, Paul from Minnesota. How are you tonight, Paul? Paul?
Hello.
Are you there, Paul?
I am. Can you hear me now?
And we can hear you now.
The master is doing just fine, thank you.
That's good. We also have the host of our show, the one who has put this epic show together tonight and made this possible, Miss Michelle Costa. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. First off, I so love that clip of Ron and me.
I know.
Oh, my
awesome?
Gosh. I love it because I was like, wait a minute. Are you ready? Because he's like, are you ready, Michelle Costa? I love the way he says that. But, oh, my gosh, first off, I am stalking the chat room. So what's up, chat room? Can I get a hells yeah? Hells yeah. Guess what? Tonight we have an epic show. All right, first off, number one, I reached out to James Ryan because guess what? We all want to know what the hell the amazing, the fantastic, the sexy James Ryan is up to these days, don't you? Cherry and Paul?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
I want to know everything, even down to his boxers. Like, what is he wearing now?
I hear he's up to a few things. I haven't seen him since L.A.
Yeah. So, wait, Paul, you don't want to know what he's wearing for boxers? Like, how dare you?
Hey, I'll support you girls on many things, but don't force me into this.
Okay, well, I won't. All right, and then...
I want to give a special shout-out to a long-time supporter and listener of the Rad Reality Show, Deb Cakes. Of course, with James Ryan being on, it doesn't surprise me, but
hello,
back.
My Deb Cakes, my little partner in crime. I love her. How are you doing, Miss Deb Cakes? Glad to have her on board along with everybody else. And if I miss you, I'm sorry, but Miss Ann R. Walsh, Big Wig 22, Chi-Town Joe, Deb Cupcakes, Face Ones, guest, just love, Lola, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets, Night Owl, la-la-la-la-la-la. And if I missed ya, guess what? I will spank you in a few. Don't you freaking worry about it. But then I get a phone call same night that I talk to James. I get a call from Luan. And Mr. Luan is like, hey, I need to come onto your show and talk to the peoples because shit is new. And I want to bring it right now in the forefront. So he's going to give us what the hell is going on with Mr. LaWonderful. But before we talk about that, we're also going to be talking about Thank God. Fuck you, Grammys. Fuck you, Oscars. Whatever the fuck is going on. Thank you for letting Mob Wives be on. Can we get a amen and a hell's yeah for Mob Wives?
Thank God. I was having Mob Wives withdrawals, Michelle. I'm here to tell you.
I was ready to break some knees and send it to some people's mamas. You know what I mean?
Taking it away twice in 1 month, that just ain't right.
Shum. Not a bueno, but we got our fix. And guess what out there? If you're a raccoon, I don't want you in my garbage. And don't be a DJ flip-flop. So we will get to that. But anyway, so we got a couple of different things going on. I want to know, Cherry, how was your week, Miss Fabulous Cherry Garcia?
My week was wonderful. It's been a really, really, really good week. We've had some fabulous shows on and just had a really good week this week.
Fantastic. And Mr. Paul with the popping clips, Mr. Paul with the ping pong pringle, your tingle till you mingle. All right, that's all I got. Take over, Paul.
Michelle, you're in rare form tonight, girl. I'm doing well. It was one of those last night surprising shows and exciting show. Did you hear what happened?
No, I didn't. I worked. Food poisoning. I'll get to that, but tell me.
I'll tell you. You know who hosts Sunday night, right?
Mr. Luis Ravato.
So maybe 10, 15 minutes before the show, he thought, I'm going to text a few of my racers, my amazing race friends, and see if they'll just pop in for 5 minutes. That's all he told them, 5 minutes. And the first call we got was from Kaylani.
Awesome.
And,
love her.
And then she was on for a little bit and got another phone call, and it was none other than some guy that was kind of hanging out with his girlfriend in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Whoa.
And so we had Jeff come on, and Jordan was driving the car, but she took the phone at one point and talked for a little bit. So it was great. And then tonight, looking so forward to hearing from James Ryan again.
Right?
Because
James Ryan's been kind of sleeping, so he's going to be waking up by the Dungeon Dragons of Manic Mondays. Rawr.
Oh, really?
Was that a dragon, or was that more of like a panther? I am in rare form tonight, Paul. Thanks for pointing that out. Because I was giving you guys an update on my work, right? So let's talk about work real quick before we get James Ryan out. Yeah. So you guys know that last week I told you guys about the fact that I got fourth in the company, and so I had a really good weekend, right? So you guys want to know what happened because, like, it's kind of, all right. So let me give it to you guys all in one dosage, hopefully. You guys ready?
I am. Don't tease me. I hate that.
Ryan, all right. Are you ready,
moment?
Paul? Paul, you ready?
I am ready.
Cherry, are you ready for the cherry on top?
I'm so ready. I can't wait to hear this news.
All right. Well, you guys know that I said that I thought I was going to do really well with the company. Well, guess what? Unfortunately, I was number one in my company. Number one, people.
Yes.
That's right. I got number one. You guys, I can't even tell you right now. First off.
You're a rock star.
Yeah, I can't even believe it. First off, I'll tell you one thing. Top three normally give speeches. Well, guess what? My boss called me and was like, listen, we normally do top three speeches, but you're going to be the speech of the day.
Wow.
And I was like, what? And he's like, I want you to tell.
He's a headliner.
Yeah. He's like, I want you to tell us everything that happened, everything from the beginning. And I'm going to just lay it all on the table for you guys. So I was horrible, bad, no bueno. And when my boss told me that I am here to change the temperature, change the gauge of my company with my story, I felt like an empowerment. Like, I am here to state things that are going to change the future of many people that are listening. And I was like, holy fucking shit. I can't drink wine or anything, because if I do, this is no freaking bueno. But anyway, so I had to give a speech, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. I fucking hated the job. I fucking was horrible. And that's what I started off with my speech. I told everybody how much I freaking sucked and how much I wanted to blame everything under the sun besides myself. And when I took a check of myself and I was like, all right, Michelle, this is not anything, the snow, the sun, the wind, the location, where you are, what you're doing, what you've been, there's something you have to change within yourself. I changed that, and I averaged over $1,000 a day. Let's put it this way. My commissions were over $1,000 in 3 days. So I killed it, and I'm super excited. I had food poisoning, if you guys all know, this past weekend. And still made 1,000 every day. So puking, and I'll be honest, shitting my brains out.
Aw, you poor thing. I know you were sick.
Oh, God, yeah. Let's get the honest truth. I don't think I needed to say that, but yeah. Come on now. People, you guys know what fucking the symptoms of food fucking poisoning are. Let me not sugarcoat it. Yucca. But anyway, so super excited about that. So that's that. Number two is
Michelle, tell me you blew the speech. What, you need Julie Chen to introduce you to do a good job?
No, I did an awesome speech. I killed it.
Oh,
of course she did.
I killed it. I was so fucking nervous. I took notes and hello, I do radio. Why would I be scared? And I was freaking nervous because I'm talking in front of 90 people, which it's not talking in front of, but I'm on the phone, and I need to come across with a good story. I didn't tell them my shit or anything. But anyway, so yeah. So everybody,
okay, go on.
So number two is I want everybody to go on to Flippin' Temecula, California Rally. Please donate under me. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Cherry. Thank you, Pam. Thank you. Oh, God. There's somebody else there. Okay, anyway, I can't remember. But thank you guys so much. And I want you guys to go on there and please, please donate. If we can pop that up on the website, chat room, whatever. And I also want to let you guys know that, guess what? Tomorrow, yours truly, Michelle, blah, 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 will be on Superpass. And you will be able to go in the day in the life of me. You guys want to know what that's about?
Wait.
Cherry and Paul. So it's going to be basically pictures that I take throughout my day, that you guys can actually see myself throughout my day, what I go through. And I have so many things that I've added in: family, home, pets, BB memorabilia. And I'll throw out this: I'm wearing my unitard. Don't tell anybody.
All right.
So you guys have to make sure that you go on to Super Pass Tomorrow, Big Brother Live feeds, 3 p.m. Pacific time, so that would be 6 p.m. our time that we're listening to right now. And make sure you guys watch, because, oh, my God, there's some crazy pictures in there. And like I said, there's a new picture of me in my unitard.
Uni.
That would make me want to go watch.
Princess, too.
Hey, yes, little princess.
I've got to point out that we have another kind of a star.
Look
at
Moosey.
Mind.
We do. We do have a star in our chat room, Miss Moosey. I'm so thrilled she's in our chat room.
Yeah, Miss Moosey is in the house. That's my mama, Moosey.
For your donations, did you mention Joe Chi-Town?
Yes, I did. I mentioned Joe, Paul, Cherry, Pam, and there is somebody else.
Anonymous?
I can't flip and remember. I don't know. But you guys, please go on there and donate. Like I said, only a couple dollars. That would be great. Because it's for a good cause. It's for Michelle's Place. It's for breast cancer. We all have breasts, men, women, children, whatever. And unfortunately, she was diagnosed at the age of, well, she thought she had something at 19, diagnosed at 26, and died.
Okay, this would be a good time, because we do have some new listeners, Cherry. I think it would be a good time to play Jillian describing the charity. Can I play that?
Let's do it.
Sure, go ahead.
All right.
The Reality Rally at Temecula, California, that is being run by Jillian Larson of Survivor.
Thank you so much, Michelle. For anybody who doesn't know, I applied for 8 years to get on Survivor. I played for 6 days, and I was booted. However, that then gave me a five-week period to do something with, and I spent 5 hours a day walking in the jungle creating Reality Rally. I wanted something that could highlight my community and be involved in a charity and be involved in a huge community event. I took it to the charity of choice, which is Michelle's Place. And Michelle was a young girl that was found a breast lump when she was 19, went to the doctor, and they told her, don't worry about it, you're young, you're a vegetarian, no family history, etc. She left it, and when she was going to the Peace Corps when she was 23, they said, you've got a breast lump, better check into it. It was too far gone, and she died at 26. So her parents set up a resource center to support other people going through their fight and struggle with breast cancer 10 years ago. They now provide over 7,000 services a year to women with breast cancer and others, for the families and for the everybody in the family. It's an amazing organization. So I chose Michelle's Place because of Michelle's history, and we raise money for them. I do what I do in the spirit of three people that have lost their struggle with cancer. One, of course, is Michelle. The other one was Jen Lyon, who was one of our survivors, who was also misdiagnosed, and she died at 36 of breast cancer. And then I have a brother that died of liver and pancreatic cancer at 56. So I do what I do in their honor and their spirit. It's www.michellesplace.org.
Very nice. That was a wonderful clip, and we also have a shorter one that just talks about the actual Reality Rally. But I believe, Michelle,
yes,
we have your first guest on this report.
Fantastic. Let's bring the amazing, fantastic, awesome James Ryan up.
Let's do. Mr. James Ryan, thank you so much for calling the Rad Reality Show. You're live on the air.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
What's up, James Ryan? It's Michelle. How you doing?
I recognize your voice, and I'd like to advise you that you shouldn't be drinking. I heard that nice stuff you said about me earlier.
James, come on. You know that's why I was drinking, because I want to say just nice things about you.
Exactly. Take some preparation on your part.
J- Just kidding. Anyway, oh my God, James, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I actually reached out to you because you are one of the most loved Big Brother past house guests of all the times. Do you know
how
that?
How the hell did that happen?
I don't want to know, but I will actually get a team on it to investigate this because this is some bullshit.
Conspiracy. I definitely have to disagree with you, but I actually don't think that people even remember me because these seasons were a long time ago.
Well, us Big Brother fans, we remember Mr. James Ryan. If you guys all know, he's a sexy motherfucker, so just hold up, wait a minute. Let your two cents go in it soon. But let's talk to James Ryan. James Ryan, what the hell have you been up to? We all want to know. How is James Ryan doing?
Yes.
Life is good. I can't complain at all. There was a while ago where I was trying to get out of Chicago just because as much as I enjoy this city, it also, I don't know, it's not the best, quote-unquote, for a career path. But then I met this guy who had an idea for a television show, and literally one day at a bar we just started talking. I had just moved back from L.A. or come back from a trip or something out there. I told him how he used to host a rock show out there and did some other crap, and he told me his idea for a show, so I sent him my hosting reel. He liked it, and now I've been, I guess almost a year now, filming this show, Three Guys in a Booth, and we just got picked up by NBC's Nonstop channel. And back last month, we went national. So now we're in 9 different cities throughout the country. So things are going really well.
James, your phone is a little garbled, so I didn't hear the name of the show again. Say it slower.
Oh, it's and it could be my lisp or the fact that I got a headset in or anything. But,
I'm going to go with the lisp.
Kiss my ass. The name of the show
I have a lisp too, so don't even go there.
The name of the show is Three Guys in a Booth.
All right. So this is, like, awesome. So first off, I'm shocked that you said that you were planning on moving out of Chicago because I know you're originally from Miami. Sorry about your Dolphins. Booyah. And now you're Chicago. Wait. Now you're Chicago.
Let's just touch on this Miami Dolphins thing. Patriots are cheaters. And we'll always be known as cheaters, you know. And the only
how did I know this was going to happen? I only do this to myself.
Your season last year and the Dolphins' season last year is that we now have a higher draft pick than you.
Wow!
Okay? Because we didn't win the Super Bowl, you didn't win the Super Bowl.
Okay, good. Well, guess what? That's more hope for you guys, which I'm super excited about. You know. But
well,
shocking
hey,
to hear that you would move out of Chicago because that's your second home. Chicago Bears, holy shit, just like in the same boat as the Dolphins. You have two teams that are just fucking you over, and I'm still with my Patriots. But anyway, let's move on. So wait, you were actually planning on moving away. Where were you going to go? Like, what were you going to do?
Well, I lived out in L.A. for a little over a year. Back in, I'm trying to think, lived in New Zealand in 07 and then L.A. in, I guess, 08 to 09. And I'd actually planned on just coming back to Chicago for a couple months and ended up, moved back here, then got put on hold for a TV show out in L.A., took off back there for about a month and a half. That ended up falling through. Actually, the funny thing is I was supposed to, or was told that I was going to be the original host. Fuck, what's the name of the show on VH1? With a guy and his mom now for a couple seasons. Tough Love. Originally, I was being cast to be the host of Tough Love, and then when they found this guy and his mom, that's what got me bumped from it. So then
bastard.
I came back to Chicago. Well, I mean, trust me, they make a lot. They make a great pair.
So wait, you can find me love, James? Wait, is that the truth? You can find me love?
No, I wasn't going there to find love. I was going in there to give some tough love.
Yeah, can you give me tough love to find my Cupid?
To find yourself a man. Well, if you want to spill out all your problems right here, no problem. I'll give you some great advice.
Okay, forget about that. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. I came here for a couple months, and then I just ended up, things were working out well. I was making, you know, some really good money here and just kind of stuck it out and fell into this. I mean, I like Chicago. It's a great city, but it's not the type of environment I grew up in. I like L.A. I like the good weather. I like the great work. It's just, it's a great place to live, in my opinion.
So there's three guys in the booth. Can you tell us like a little bit about it, like, and where we can listen to you or watch you? Because it sounds very interesting.
Well, it's on the NBC Nonstop channel, which is NBC's digital channel. And we're in, let me pull up the channel list here. We're in Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, New York, Philly, Dallas, Fort Worth, Miami, Washington, D.C., and Chicago. And it just depends on which cable you have. I know we're not on DirecTV because I have DirecTV, so I don't even get to watch it.
So you don't get to watch yourself?
Well, I mean, I'm not, to be honest, I help out with the they also got me to be an associate producer on the show, so I help out with the editing and scheduling guests and things like that. So I get to see most of the footage. I just don't, unless they had an issue. Sometimes I'll look at final footage before it gets sent out just to make sure that, you know, my mouse sometimes can get me in trouble. So there's a lot of times that I'll just check over
get
review
out.
Stuff where production's like, do you think this is what we want to put out there? And, you know, we don't want any of our guests to ever be in a negative light. We don't want any of the restaurants that we shoot in to ever have anything negative about them. So
if I was a guest on your show, James, just say I was a guest on your show, what kind of questions would you ask me?
Well, we just would cater questions towards, I don't know if we'd be able to touch on Big Brother so much now that...
So you would probably say, how bad do you feel that the Patriots lost, something like that, or...
Oh, we would talk shit to you, definitely. But it'd be fun. Maybe dig into your past a little bit, find any embarrassing things we can about you. And then,
I have somebody on the switchboard that has a question for you. Would you mind taking a call?
Of course. It's your show. I'm just a guest here.
Okay, great. That means hell's yeah.
Okay.
Depends on who it is.
Lucy, thank you so much for calling the Rad Reality Show. You're live with James Ryan and Michelle Costa.
Oh, well, that was a bad one to pick. No, I'm kidding.
See, this is where you lose your special guest right there.
Moosey, Mrs. Mama Moosey is on. Holy shit, James, hold on to your fucking three guys in a booth. So,
hey,
what do you have to say, Moosey?
Moosey, well, first of all, Moosey, tell us which of your cats we're listening to right now.
That is Oscar the kitten that Nietzsche has adopted. It's 9 days old, and is the rescue that was outside. So, anyway, besides being haunted by cat ladies, James, where do you see your three guys show going? Do you ever? I mean, are you going to have Howie back on anytime soon, or what are you going to do as far as in the future with this? If you should move to L.A., how will that work out?
Well, we had a production meeting last night, and one of the things I was talking about was that I was considering going to New York for another month or two because there's a lot of good stuff going on there, and one of my agencies out there wanted me to get out there quickly.
Cool.
And, I mean, obviously, we're only shooting, you know, 2-3 times a month because we're not on something that airs. We're only giving new episodes weekly, so it's not like we're shooting, you know, enough episodes for 5 a week.
Yeah,
right,
but weekly's good, though. Weekly's great.
Well, I'm fine with all the success. I mean, when I was approached about this project, the guy whose idea was originally only wanted to do webisodes and was going to make money off advertising that way on the online. And when I saw some of the footage, I was like, you know, this could really – I think this is something that could be on television, especially with how boring Chicago's local programming is. So I had a couple friends at NBC that I had met through different charity events and then through just, you know, knowing out and about. And they got us meetings with NBC, and then NBC put us on their digital channel. And then when they were going national with this channel, or combining the national channel markets, they got us a meeting with the people from New York, and people from New York loved the show. And out of the two shows that went national, out of all the Chicago shows, only two shows, ours and this other one called JBTV, were selected. So to be honest, in less than a year, the show's done incredible. So I can't complain about anything about that. You know, we're just trying to get some more ad revenue coming in. What'd you say?
Do you see, like, doing location shots for different events, like, you know, either March Madness or NBA or anything like that? You know, as far as going to the area, as far as leaving Chicago and going to a location-type shot?
Well, the original intent was for the show to shoot all over the country. That's obviously still the intent, but now that we're going through a network, there's a lot more, there's different parameters you have to go through for all this stuff, such as now there's a lot more of like a legal team involved, and there's just stuff that's completely beyond my pay grade that, you know,
James, can you tell us a little bit about what you guys talk about on Three Guys in a Booth? Like, what is your parameters?
The way that I set it up is, I say it's just like The View minus the fat chicks. The whole premise behind the show is just, when you are out and you're having your best time, it's literally it's you and two of your friends, three of your friends, whatever, just sitting around, having food, having drinks, and just talking shit. You talk about all the stuff that's happening in your life. You tell stories. You talk about things that are on television right now. And that is, I mean, that's what makes any talk show successful, whether you're looking at The View or you're watching The Five or you're watching, you know, Around the Horn or Check Please. It's just a bunch of friends getting together and talking. And that's the basis behind this. It's just that it's real guys. None of us are real celebrities. I mean, Jerry played professional football. So he's kind of in that, you know, in that realm. I was on some dumbass reality shows, so I had, you know, kind of that realm. In Orlando, is just a self-made millionaire. It's just, we're just real guys. You know, there's nothing special about us. We're just real guys who will give real opinions and aren't worried about, you know.
There's a lot of those shows that have women sitting around the table, though. There's not a lot of shows with men sitting around that table, though, and I think you've got really something special.
And that's one of the things that we talked about, because when you did have that show with Mario Lopez where they tried to do, like, the same type format, you know, because I started researching, like, these old guy talk shows, it was just, it was too pretty and it was too fake, you know. And the thing about our show is it's, I mean, we don't have makeup artists. None of us put makeup on. We just wake up, we dress ourselves, we show up like you would if you're going out with your buddies. The idea that the executive producer has is he wants this thing as real as possible. You know, I
and you're sitting there with a beer and a booth and a bar.
Yep, just it's
just like what's wrong with that? Everyday life of James Ryan.
Almost everyday life. But,
so, what else are you doing besides that? Is that the only thing you're doing, or are you pursuing other things?
Well, it's hard to pursue other things in Chicago, and that's one of the reasons why this has not been the best city for me for other things, and why, you know, eventually I'd like to get back out west. But
well, I would actually say that that's a lie and that's some BS, because I actually recently saw Mr. James Ryan on national TV, didn't I, James?
Oh, yeah.
I actually saw Mr. Fantastic James Ryan on Maury Povich, and guess what, ladies? He is not the father. Yeah, you guys know.
What Michelle is misleading you on is that, yes, I was on a Maury show, but no, we were doing the toss-ins or lead-ins for the segments. They just
hired okay.
Actors.
Oh, God. I get confused sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you should get off these talk shows. Still trying to find your baby daddy, I see.
Wait, first off, that just means I'm watching Maury Povich with number one. Okay. Yeah, people, I watch Maury Povich because I look at that and I go, hell yeah, my life is better. Okay? No bullshit. Number two, James Ryan looked really fucking good. I was like, damn, James Ryan looking good up in the Windy City. Because, you know, Maury is originally from the Windy City, and now he's in Stamford, Connecticut, which is just a few hours away from me. But James Ryan played a key point in that Maury Povich show. And you know what? I respect James Ryan for everything he does, because guess what, people? That's what we're here for, exposure. And he's getting exposure. And the Windy City is a lot better than where I'm at in Providence, Rhode Island. I'm lucky if I can, you know, get anything at all. Like,
it's, I mean, the thing is, is that when I originally, when my agent sent me the email about that, I guess because Maury, we didn't even have to go to a casting for it. They just wanted people that could read some lines or memorize some lines, and it was an after job, so they just paid you the after rates, you know, one of the acting unions. And that, I was like, shit, if this is some sort of setup, I'm like, I will walk off the stage, chain the doors and burn that fucking building down.
So did you think you could have been the father? Is that what you're telling us right now?
You know, first of all, there's no telling what's out there. Just kidding. There's one of those things, I was like, I didn't realize that they use actors on these type of shows before. And when I was talking to the Maury people when we were shooting, what they explained to us was that normally when you go to film in Chicago in February, it's freezing, it's disgusting, and in order to find man-on-the-street interviews, it's not the best climate for it because nobody wants to stop in negative 20-degree weather and talk to someone. Or, you know, because that's how they normally do when they film this stuff, they just stop normal people on the streets. So what they decided to do going into Chicago was just go to some of the talent agencies, find some people that could memorize lines so we'd be out there in the cold only for a minimum of or a maximum of 10 minutes. So that's why they hired us to say those things, you know, because they were worried about the climate. They wanted to do this quick, and they didn't want their production team running around the streets of Chicago in freezing cold weather trying to get, you know, quote-unquote Maury fans to say this stuff. So I guess normally they don't hire actors and actresses, but this was a
hey, get that paycheck.
On climate. Oh, of course I'll take the paycheck.
Get that paycheck because I love Maury. Obviously, if I saw you, then I'm watching it. And a lot of people out there do. And you know what? Good for you. And good for you with the Three Men in a Box. So you say you've been doing that for a year?
Three Men in a Box sounds like now that's definitely Chicago. Three bodies in a box.
No, but three men in a box. Not the bodies.
Booth.
If I was talking about bodies,
booth,
I'd be talking
booth,
about Providence.
Booth.
Michelle.
But,
Michelle, it's three guys in a booth.
Oh, but he knows what I was talking about. Like, honestly, the things that James is doing is, like, amazing because everything that he touches, it turns into, like, gold. Like,
you're crazy.
No, I'm being serious because, like you said, you were planning on going somewhere in L.A. where L.A. is popping. And you know what? To be able to do that in a city that is not L.A., it's not New York, it's not Miami – you know, because you came from Miami. Like, I'm living in Providence. Like, I'm lucky to get a box, never mind anything. So can you tell people that are out there listening, like, that want to do reality or that want to do that, you have to take how many no's, James, to get the yes? And the yes that you get is, like, way beyond all the no's that you got. Can you just, like, let people know about that? Because it's not easy.
Oh, no, but I mean, that's the truth. I mean, if you – and I wouldn't recommend anyone that wants to get on TV and for acting or modeling to go the reality route. I didn't go the reality route. It was something I was doing, you know, long before I went on Big Brother. And I think one of the reasons when I moved out to L.A., I waited a couple years since Big Brother All-Stars is because everyone looks at reality television as that catalyst to get you on television. Reality television, even when I went on it, is not the same as it is now. Now it's trash television. You know, you look at who they're casting for these shows, and it's not who wants to play the game. It's who wants to make the biggest spectacle of themselves. And when you try to then branch from that to a, quote-unquote, legitimate acting jobs or mob, I think it does hurt you. I think going on Big Brother did hurt me, especially even though I waited a couple of years to get out to L.A., I'd go into castings, and people are like, oh, I recognize you from somewhere, which is why I saw your face, I liked your look, and I knew I recognized you from something. Well, when they find out that it's from Big Brother, a lot of times, or from reality shows, that puts you in a negative light just because of the stereotype that's now been created. If you look at Big Brother in the beginning, Survivor in the beginning, even Real World, the original reality show, they cast real people for those things who wanted to either take part in a sociology experiment or people who wanted to win a game. I went on Big Brother because I wanted to win a game. I had never seen the show. I didn't give a damn about the show. I heard it was a competition. They told me there were no rules. So I was like, shit, I'm down for this. I didn't care. You know, and now people are going on these things because they want to make a name for themselves. And I think that that's hurting those people that think that this is a catalyst into that market. But back to your original question, because I know I talk a lot.
All right, well, that just brought me back to a different point because I really wanted to make a name for myself. But anyway, go on.
you when you there are so many auditions and so many castings that I go to where you even walk in there and you know that you look at everybody else in the room and you're just like, shit, there's no reason I'm here. I don't know why I was called for this. But you're just like, you go through the motions, you maybe they're looking at you for something else. There's so many no's. It's ridiculous. When I was out in New York last summer, it was unbelievable. I was going to second and third callbacks for almost every casting I went out for. It was great, but you know what? I wasn't booking anything. And it's one of those things where it's just like, it's frustrating. You're on your own dime. No agency pays you anything. You go out there, you spend your money, you do things, they get you the castings, you go out there. If you don't book stuff, you don't make money, you know? And when I go on these rants, like when I went to New Zealand, you know, went to New York, it's because, thankfully, I've been fortunate enough with other jobs to just put enough cash away where it's not a problem, you know? Because even when you go out there, and like in New Zealand, I made ridiculous money working out there, but it still took almost 60 days to get paid. So even when you do finally start booking stuff and, you know, those no's turn into yeses, it still takes you forever to get paid. So it's not that glamorous, fun lifestyle that everybody thinks. And even now, you know, I still pick up bartending shifts at some spots. People are like, you're on national TV. Why are you still bartending? Well,
I need money.
I like money.
Exactly.
And if you're not working, you're not making money. And a lot of times the cash from bartending helps me pay taxes at the end of the year on things like, you know, Maury shows or whatever shows, or, you know, when you're working as an independent contractor on such things like Three Guys in the Booth.
Yeah.
Hey, James, you said that you didn't have, like, agents or anything like that, but you did back when you were modeling, I assume.
Yeah, of course. And if I had told any of them I was going to go on Big Brother, they would have been like, you're an idiot. You're going to ruin this for yourself. You know, but thankfully I had just, when I got picked up for Big Brother the first time, is that I had just moved back from, or just moved to Atlanta from Miami. So Wilhelmina, who was my agency in Miami, had nothing to do with anything of me outside the state of Florida. So I technically didn't have to say them. And I didn't say anything to them. And I hadn't had time to look for agencies in Atlanta because it wasn't my focus. I was looking for schools there so I could, you know, wait a year and then go to law school at the University of Georgia. So that was
You're absolutely right, James. People don't understand this type of lifestyle. Like, okay, we do work, but we don't get paid for like a month to 2 months. True story, people. You don't get paid. That's how it goes. So it's like Christmas. You open up that mailbox and one day, ooh, you might have a check. Yay. But you have to wait a long time for it. So I give people mad props because I've been in that predicament. And it's tough. It really is. And I have like a two-part question for you, James. Number one is, if Big Brother asked you to come back, would you? And number two, what reality shows are you watching? And are you still a Big Brother fan? I guess that's kind of like a three, but it's like a two-and-a-halfer.
We'll hit the Big Brother one first. Yeah, I'm a fan of the competition on the show. I've been very disappointed. I mean, as much as a lot of fans love season 8, I was disappointed in the America's Player thing. I thought that was bullshit to have the producers manipulating the results of the game. You know, season 9, we had that hamster, that question, that like original pairs, it turned out to be a hamster. Bullshit. This season, I was rooting for the veterans, you know, and as they were getting knocked off one by one, then you have Rachel and Jordan as the only two left, and that second Pandora's box. Anybody watching the show knows that Pandora's box is only put in there to keep Rachel and Jordan in the game.
Of course.
And
thank you.
Looking at as a competitor, I think that that's bullshit because that hurts the other people in there. But as a fan of Rachel and Jordan at that time, I was like, okay, good for them. I just don't like that type of stuff.
Okay, so were you rooting for Danielle, or were you rooting for Rachel and Jordan? Because that kind of screwed over Danielle a little bit, no?
No, Danielle was already gone.
Okay.
Danielle was already gone.
I didn't know if you were talking about just the kind of the whole process, because it seemed like to me that Danielle had kind of, she was on her own, if you agree with me. She kind of got put in like
a
predicament.
Well, she did that to herself. She did that to herself, you know.
Yeah, but wouldn't you have done the same kind of? Not that she did herself, but first off, her partner had to be let go. And then, yeah, maybe she made a move too fast in advance, but still at the same time, when that box came out, you already knew that they were keeping, you know, they were keeping the hopes of Rachel and Jordan alive, because that would have never happened if it wasn't for that, right?
That was there specifically just for Rachel and Jordan, you know, and I don't, for the Danielle thing, if Danielle's move had worked, people would say that it was genius. You know, obviously, except for Jeff and Jordan fans, they'd still hate her. But if you look at gameplay, people would think that that's genius. You know, season six, when Kacer and I decided to form our little group and go against Eric and Maggie, if that doesn't work out and we don't win the chess veto, we just look stupid. You know, so it's one of those things where, you know, when you take a risk, if it works out, you're winning the Super Bowl. And if you lose, you look stupid. No, but I'm saying, and that's what people fail to look at, because they get so wrapped up in each person as, you know, this character, that individual, or this or that. But in reality, if these risks work, shit, if Jeff doesn't throw the clown shoe out of the box, I mean, we all know he would have won, you know, that season of Big Brother. It's just shit happens. And I like the clown shoe shit, because that's essentially, Jeff did that to himself as opposed to production doing something to keep or eliminate someone. Because you can't enjoy watching that if, you know, you're watching a football game and the referees are deciding the outcome, you know, or
Amen.
The commissioner is stepping in to say, well, we're not going to allow this to happen. So as a Big Brother fan, I have to be a fan because I watched the show and I was on the show. But I just, it still kind of annoys me.
Hey, James?
Yes. I was going to talk in circles.
No. I before you went, I wanted to allow Moosey message me some news that I think you'd appreciate. Moosey, why don't you go ahead and tell what you told me?
Yeah, you're live on the air, Moosey. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was on speaker. I think James already knows, but just really one of his best buddies that are out there in Oregon. Their daughter, Kale and Darren Hardwick, their team won state championship for basketball, high school.
Nice.
And
they were cutting down the nets the other day. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I mean, they're like the David and Goliath scenario. I mean, it's only you can go up and watch these guys, and they have like replacements on the other team, and and Darren's team has maybe eight players on it. So
Aww.
They go the entire time. It's just really a cool thing. So I just really was happy about that, because I know how much Darren and Kale get along. Kale and James, and it's a whole basketball thing.
I hope Darren
and Kale
get along.
Yeah.
They're
well,
married.
That's great. You need to see if you can drag Darren into one of your three guys things. He'll talk
three guys in the box.
Time. Yeah, into your box. Yeah. Thanks for the questions. I'm going to hang up now. I have to go and finish stuff.
Thanks
and
for calling,
you guys.
Moosey, so
thank
much.
You.
It was
Take
great
care.
Having you on the show.
Have a good
no,
one.
Hey, no, thanks. That was really good. I was good and excited to hear about three guys, because it's really entertaining. I mean, I've been laid up, and it's just been really good entertainment, especially seeing how they got to babysit Howie. So anyway.
Oh, boy. We don't know about
okay.
that.
Take care of Oscar. And take care of you.
Take care.
So, Jeff actually guest hosted, Jeff Shorter actually guest hosted for us when one of our guys was out of town, and his episodes are probably going to be coming up in a couple weeks. And production actually really liked him, because obviously, I mean, he's a real guy. That's part of his popularity. He's, you know, just a normal guy who says
right.
what's on his mind.
He was,
you know,
just on our show last night.
Detriment, you know, but it's one of those things where that's the basis of the show. They want people who aren't going to be worried about saying what's on their mind.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Yes, ma'am.
I happened to go look on your site and was just looking around, and we're all about charities and giving back, and I noticed you support some wonderful charities. the Wounded Warriors Project, the ASAP Foundation, the Project Angel Food, Out of the Darkness, and the Japan Relief Fund. Do you want to talk about any of those charities?
Well, first of all, Wounded Warriors Project, I don't know how anyone can sit here, see one of their commercials, and have it not bring, like, tears to your eyes.
I agree.
It's unbelievable. Whether you support the war or not, I feel like, or the wars, it's one of those things where you're watching kids that are in their late teens, early 20s, that are going away to combat, and they're coming back missing limbs. Eyes,
head injuries,
you know, having head injuries, you know, the PTSD, and now they're just being thrown back into society with literally nothing. You know, growing up.
And our economy is so bad, there's so few jobs for them to come back to, and their families don't have support. It's just heartbreaking, and that project is just so wonderful.
You know, and you got to also think about the American people as a whole. I mean, you remember the way people, especially, you know, like on the left, were treating our soldiers when they came back from Vietnam. I mean, they were attacking them. They were throwing things at them. They were, you know, literally trying to harm them. And now we have such a support from both sides, from the right, from the left, for our soldiers. It's really one of those things that are it's good to see that the entire country is essentially picking these things up and helping support these soldiers, you know, when they come back, because they're going to need all the help they can get. A couple of the guys that, you know, were at that one event that I had, when you listen to their stories, this one guy, you know, lost 12 buddies. Another guy had been hit like 4 or 5 different IEDs. You know, they're telling me a story about they're riding down the streets of Baghdad in a tank, and this anti-tank mine goes off underneath them, and it flips this, like, 3-ton, it's probably even more than that, this 3-ton vehicle on its side. You just can't imagine the amount of force on that explosion and what that does to your brain, to your internal organs. And I could go on for hours about the different things that I've seen working with this group. And, you know, you got guys riding bicycles with no legs that are now water skiing with one arm or no legs. And they're just, Wounded Warriors Project is coming up with programs and advisors and people that can assist them, you know, so just doing the things that we all take for granted on an everyday basis. So, I mean, Wounded Warrior programs, it's just $19 a day is a minimum donation. I mean, $19 a month is a minimum donation. I mean, most people can afford to give that up when you think that that's like a drink in a nightclub.
Right.
Yeah.
I live here in St. Louis, and we were the first city in the nation to give a parade for the Iraq War veterans coming home. And two guys got together and started on Facebook and on Twitter with this idea. And within just over a month, put this parade together with the support of a few companies and our mayor, and got this huge parade together. And it was a great parade. It was huge. And now it's gone, you know, around the country. It's been talked about on every network on TV. And now it's going around the country. You know, cities are starting to talk about doing parades for our veterans coming home. And they should have parades for these people.
Absolutely.
These people fought for our country. And they used to always have parades for our veterans coming home. And now it's like they come home, like James said, when they came home from Vietnam, they didn't get that. And
they were attacked.
Yeah, it was horrible. And we should be supporting these guys with everything we can. And the Wounded War Project is just one of the best. But you also have some other great projects that you support. And I just wanted to be able to give you the opportunity to talk about any of the projects that you support.
Project
because
Angel
every
Food,
one of them
one.
Are wonderful.
Project Angel Food does, and we actually have a bunch of people from Big Brother. I know Drew from Season 5 was out there at one of the events with me. Marcellus from All-Stars in Season 3 is very active with with Project Angel Food. And what that does is it's an L.A.-based charity that delivers meals to terminally ill people, whether it's from AIDS or cancer. You know, just make sure that these people are getting meals every day and just having a person, like an actual living being, deliver them where they can, you know, have a few minutes of conversation and just kind of feel like, you know, even though they are suffering from something that's terminally ill, that there are people out there that care enough about them to take that time out of their day to just stop in, drop off some hot food, and, you know, say hi to them.
Right.
You know,
says their motto is for life, for love, and for as long as it takes, and I think that is so beautiful.
Yeah, they're amazing. I'll just one more group that I wanted to touch on is Charity for Life, which is a Chicago-based one. That what they do is they just got back from a trip to Nicaragua. They were out there. Well, the first they did fundraisers here, and then they took this money down to Nicaragua, where they have these kids. These are all like abandoned children that are literally living in giant landfills, and they're out there digging for food, digging for clothes, just, you know, to eat and to survive. And what Charity for Life does is with the money that they bring, they're able to purchase things like rice and beans just to give these kids some sort of substance so they can hopefully grow up and become productive. There's also different courses where they're teaching them life skills such as sewing and different sort of trades where they can actually hopefully one day start producing, you know, some sort of talent or skill where they're able to start providing for themselves. The girls down there, I saw these pictures of these. You could kind of tell they were girls, but they had, like, weird haircuts, and they were dressing very masculine. And I was like, really? I mean, I really thought they were, like, lesbians. And Jessica, one of the girls who was on the board, told me, she's like, no. She's like, these girls try to look as masculine as possible to stop from getting raped. I mean, because that's, they're abandoned kids. They can't go to the police and be like, I was sexually assaulted or raped or whatever. They try to look as masculine as possible to stop from getting raped. Can you imagine what that's like as a child to have to deal with? So there's so many, you want to talk about a war on women? Head down to Nicaragua and take a look at, you know, some of the stuff that's going down there and some of these other countries. Right now we're putting together, working on a fundraiser they're going to be taking a trip to Haiti in a couple months to follow up on some of the relief and the stuff that was done after the earthquake. So there's a lot of good things that these people are doing, and I'm just trying to hopefully get their voices out to, you know, follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, Jeff and Jordan just got back from Cambodia, and they were telling us last night about, you know, some of the things that they saw over there. They went back over for quite some time to I think, do some building and work with them. One of the people that Jeff met when he was on his show Around the World for Free, he kept in touch with, and he went back over with Jordan, and they went back to help build a building and just work over there on their own time to do some things for the people of Cambodia. Pardon me?
I was talking to Jeff. We're going to have him talk about that. He's going to guest host an episode that we shoot on the 21st, and he's going to go into some of the stuff that him and Jordan have been doing.
That's incredible.
Incredible.
I can't wait to see that.
Especially with the volume Jeff has. It's just amazing. He's doing an incredible job getting that message out there and just doing, you know, a good thing.
It just warms my heart to think about all of the, you know, people like yourself and Michelle and these, you know, you guys are regular people who, you know, are just like all of us, but you got on a reality show, and you're so talented yet, and you're out there giving back and showing others how to do this too, and being leaders of your communities. And it just warms my heart to see you guys setting such a great example in your communities and showing people how easy it is to step up, and it only takes a little bit to give back. And I'm just so proud of all of you. You know, some people can really take it to your head and let it, you know,
be all about them instead of others.
Yeah, turn ugly and, you know, get a big head. But I really haven't seen many at all from Big Brother that has gone that route. Everybody from Big Brother and people that we've talked to have all been so good about doing well for their communities and for charities, and it's just so thrilling to talk to you guys on the radio and be able to hear the things that you're doing. And I wish every good thing to come to you, James, because you guys so deserve it.
Yes, Hey, James.
I thank you, and I appreciate hearing that type of stuff. And it's just a lot of people, I think, just get sidetracked. I've been fortunate enough to where I have, like, some free time to really do these things. But, I owe that to my parents. My mom, one of the things, when we were young, we were out there, you know, with our church, feeding the homeless and making sandwiches. And even I was, you know, a little bastard in high school, getting in trouble for every different thing, I was still somehow at youth group on Wednesday nights, you know, doing the charity work. And it's just one of those things that I think if we just start, you know, with our kids, it just kind of becomes second nature to want to help people.
Kudos to
you. Regardless of your political beliefs or religious beliefs or whatever.
Right. Kudos. It doesn't matter what those beliefs are. If you can just reach out and help somebody who doesn't have it as well as you do, and can help somebody who is in need, your religious beliefs, your political beliefs, none of that matters.
No, that's just putting the polarize us and for us to choose sides. I mean, we just had three states, you know, ravaged by tornadoes. We have people right here in our own country that need this stuff. You know,
absolutely.
If you can only give $5 to one of these things, that's fine. If you can only give $5 and someone else can only give 50 cents and someone can give a couple hundred, it all adds up, and it all helps.
Well,
I was going to
give kudos to your mom because so often it's the parents that instill that love in your heart and the big heart that you're showing. Before you go, James, I just wanted to know, we're us Big Brother fans, love the job you do hosting some of these events that we see on the internet. Are you still going to be able to do some of those?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things is that, I mean, charity events, I stay away from a lot of the reality events now. Like, you know, I was doing Vegas every year just because it was kind of fun and, you know, I was hosting that live at the studio stuff. But a lot of the just get-together events, I don't really attend anymore just for the simple sake that, I mean, I was on a reality show a long time ago, and most people don't even remember me anymore. And if they do, they're asking me about Sarah or some other stupid shit. I'm just kind of like, go drink bleach. But it's one of those things where the charity events I'm always going to stay active in, you know. And if anyone needs help with that, it's, you know, I'm more than willing to help out or try to do what I can. But, you know, Big Brother was awesome. It was a good time. But when I go to these events now, it's not about me talking about season 6 or me talking about All Stars. There's 6-7 seasons now of new people. It's their time. Let's, you know, give them that moment.
I was very grateful and moved and happy when I saw you interviewing Cherry out at the LA Rap Party. And you gave her time to talk about Ron. So I just wanted to personally thank you for a job well done there, too.
Dude, Ron was awesome. I mean, there's not a person. I mean, obviously, this show is because of him. He was one of those guys who you can't help but you meet this guy and, you know, I'm using that term, you fall in love with him because he was just one of those people who has that golden heart, and you don't find that in a lot of people. And I think that's why those that knew him were so drawn to him, because he was genuine, he was real, and he was pure. And that's one of those things that, especially nowadays, people would kill to find a friend or someone to be, you know, have that person like that in your life. And that's why I think he was so loved and is still, you know, missed by so many people.
That's so true.
Absolutely,
and I think
James. Absolutely. He would be so happy that you came on today and just talked about, like, things that have been going on in your life. And you know what that I'm so happy about is that James is saying it himself, like, you know, he got put in a circumstance. He was on a reality TV show, and look what he's doing from it. He's doing good. And he's taking what he's been given and making the best out of it. And we can't thank him so much for that, because there's people out there with no voice, no nothing, and James is stepping in, and whoever else is taking over that name and making the best out of it. And James, like you, I've done the same and trying to do the same. And I don't care if you were 10 years ago, if you were 10 minutes ago, James, you have always been in the limelight, and you have always been that name that people talk about. So Thank you so much for coming on here.
We got somebody else that people talk about, and I don't know if we want to at least give James a chance to say hello to this next caller.
Maybe James wants to say hi. James, do you want to stay on and say hi to our next guest?
As long as he hasn't hung up on himself and already evicted himself from this phone call, I will gladly say hi to him.
And James, I want to say thank you too for making me feel so comfortable out in LA. I was so nervous, and you were just wonderful out there. So thank you so much.
I think you'll like this guest, James. So Cherry, who do
I'm
going to
bring
on?
Him up now. Mr. LaJuan, Mr. LaWonderful, Mr. Handsomefied, you are live on the Rad Reality Show. Thank you so much, dear.
How are you? How is everybody? Thank you, Dave, for staying alive and saying hello, buddy.
I will. I want to hear all about your special powers.
Right? He's got special powers. Everybody, Mr. LaWonderful is on, and he is here to tell us everything, and Mr. LaWonderful, what the hell is going on?
His special power is that he makes everybody smile. I mean, I follow a few people on Twitter, and I've never seen someone who is always so happy and so always trying to put everybody else in different moods. I'm shooting out cynical, mean tweets, as what people say all the time, and you just roll the LaJuan's timeline, and it's smile, have a wonderful day, this and that, always in a good mood.
Yeah, we can't keep up with that shit.
Thank you.
He does make everyone smile at all times. He is never down. He's never sad. He just is always so happy, and that is his special power. He can make anyone smile at any moment of any day.
Thank you.
What's going on, Mr. LaWonderful? What's going on in your life?
Well, Jane said something about special powers. I am trying to use my special powers because, you know, since I was on a reality show, I really got a lot of fans who just come up to me on a regular basis like, do you know, like, you changed my life about how, you know, how to look at things and your attitude. And for me, I mean, I appreciate it, but, like, when you guys tell me I try to make everybody smile, that's just something that I've always known that I can do, and so I just take that and I embrace it. So I always try to make people smile. But in essence of that, I put out something last week because something dear to me has happened. For everybody, and I was like, you know, well, what can I do to change it? So what I did was I put out that I was going to be engaged, which I am engaged. But let me explain it to you. When I did that, I mean, people were tweeting me, Facebooking me, calling me, and I was like, calm down. It's just, you know, just something I want to do. So I put out last week that I was going to be engaged, which I said my big announcement was I was going to be engaged to entertainment and style because I've been loving entertainment and fashion for like over 20-some odd years. And so I knew that I would get people's attention because people know who I am. And so what I'm doing is I'm planning an event on December 8th, and I'm calling it The Wedding because I feel like, I mean, I love it so much that I want to share the love that I have for entertainment style. And what I'm doing is I am starting my own anti-bullying campaign, and that was to get everybody's attention.
All right. That's a big topic right now.
Oh, yeah. So I'm doing that. So I'm doing a documentary, and I'm going to show it on my event at the wedding.
You're doing this with the wedding. So wait, I didn't know we were getting married. What is going on? Because last time I checked, it's you and me, we're getting married. So what the hell is going on?
We've been married and had the honeymoon, baby, when I saw you last time. Don't trip.
So wait, you're cheating on me, and who is you cheating on me with?
I'm cheating on you with everybody because, I mean, everybody shows so much love to me, and I wanted to, like, do something good. I mean, so that's my big goal. That was my big announcement last week.
All right.
Wow.
So, James, have you met LaJuan? James, have you met LaJuan? Have you met James? Like, is this, like, the first meeting right here?
No.
We have definitely met. I interviewed him at the rap party. We hung out in, you were in Vegas, weren't you?
Yes, I was there, please.
You know, I'm talking about Juan. That whole L.A. Vegas trip was a whirlwind for me. I'm not sure where everyone was at.
Wait, you weren't on the bus, were you, James?
Oh, no, I was in the car. I was getting text messages and tweets that were updating me on some of the activity that was going on the bus. Hijackings and shit-talking, whatever and that. I mean, what else was really out of the event for?
James,
exactly.
Did you know that was my tickets that I gave up on the bus that caused all that?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, Charlie, you were the culprit? Oh, gosh.
I gave up my two tickets at the last minute, and Sheila Kennedy and Andrew Gordon took my tickets.
Oh, God. You immediately regret that decision, don't you?
Oh, wait.
Yep. That's how all that happened. So
James, wait, you were not in the bus, but you heard about it. What was that like? How did you not be involved in the bus?
I was riding with Cassie, Moosey, and Annie. What happened before? It was years before. It was always a charity event, so I was always trying to save as much money as possible for whatever charity the money was going to. So when they would do things like hire buses or things like that, like the year before, I'd always ridden with somebody else because I figured that was saving money for whoever had to pay for these type of things. So that's why I wasn't on the bus.
Amen.
of course, I don't think it was for charity last year. But
Mr. Jewish boy, his donation was huge.
I think that's funny as hell. That is one of those things where to hide that bus is awesome. I mean, I think that is an epic, funny ass thing. Unfortunately, when people like to do things like that, they don't realize that they might be breaking the law.
Wait, James, was it funny because you weren't on the bus? Because if you were on the bus, would it be funny?
If I was on the bus, I'd probably been there with Andrew as a lookout. So I also would have been sitting next to him in the squad car. Actually, I could have outran Andrew and the police officer, so I would not have been. It's one of those things where it's one of those stories where it's funny to talk about.
It's classic. It's a classic moment.
It's a classic.
Yes,
it is classic. That's classic.
And I'll tell you one thing.
Remember that story.
I will not go anywhere where Andrew is. That's another story. If I see him and he's getting on a bus or whatever, I'm like, I'll get on the next one. Don't worry about it. I'll be late 20 minutes. But I'm not getting on that bus because... He's learned his lesson, yes. And he's from the Florida area, so James might give him a little bit of leeway.
I really thought
it was hilarious. Like, who would ever actually think about doing that? And to get it to that point, you have to really give him
And he's
something.
The doctor on the bus. Who would have thought it would have been him to do it, He's the doctor on the whole thing, You wouldn't have expected it to be him.
No. The grown-up.
Yeah.
That's
why we're put in these shows, because we're not like the others,
We're not favorite.
We're like the circus show, the bearded man and the muscled woman. Like
family.
People want to look at us and they hear music.
Hey Costa, I'm gonna give you a chance. You said weird people like the bearded man, you didn't mean that.
Well, you know what I mean.
We got that.
No, you know what I meant. Like, we're like a spotlight, And there had to have been one person. And you know what? It's kind of funny because I would have thought he would be the last person to pull that. But then at the same time, I'm like, he's so quiet. It's like he needed that little spunk in his life.
Well, I don't think Andrew's quiet at all. I definitely would put that as someone that would do it. So
yeah, so I was kind of like, go, But at the same time, I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I don't want to talk to him the whole day, you know? Like, I don't want to be associated with him. But,
He had, you know, got in trouble with the police. He had to get his own tickets to, you know, fly to that little airport. I think that he learned his lesson. And, shit, he had his fun. That's what counts.
Hey.
Yep.
You know, what happened to Vegas stays in Vegas. Unfortunately,
okay.
that was multiplied by 10,000. But we're happy for it because we would not be talking about it unless it was something to be talked about. So kosher was not so kosher, I guess we could say. But
well,
why
talk about
your anti-bullying
campaign.
I'm sorry?
Tell us about your anti-bullying campaign. And
well,
do you have a slogan yet or... I'm
working on the slogan. I'm going to announce the slogan next week. But I got approached by these high school kids that were friend of mine on the show. And they were just like, you know, would you want to do an anti-bullying campaign? And like, would you want to talk to teens, you know, because you're so positive? And how do you do it? And da 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 da. And I'm like, oh yeah, I would love to. So it just started out as just like really just chit-chatting with my fans. And it just went on from there, and then I got a lot of people that wanted to sponsor me and sponsor the event. So it turned out good.
You're the perfect person to do that kind of thing because you have that outgoing personality and the spirit behind you to go out and talk to kids and do that kind of thing. So I think they're right on point to have you do that kind of thing.
If you'd like,
I can't wait to see your event.
If you'd like to share, were you ever, LaJuan, a victim?
Oh, no. You know, that's so funny because I'm always honest. I'm like, and no, I have to say I was really, really blessed. I never was a victim. And I thought about it and I said, was I ever a bully? And I was like, no, that wasn't the case either. So, it's very interesting when I talk about it because everybody's like, well, how were you when you were growing up? I was the same. Like, I was always different, but I embraced it and I wanted to be different. So, you know, I took that as a compliment. Like, if someone said, oh, you're different, good. I didn't push the envelope. Let me push it one more time. And I think that was the way I always been. And I don't know. It's interesting to talk to kids. And, I mean, I've been in similar situations like them. Where, you know, I might have been an outcast, but people were drawn to me, not because I was different, but they still, regardless if they thought I was different, they were still drawn to me. And I was like, well, what made them be drawn to me? And I think it comes from, like, within inside. If you have some issues within yourself and you're trying to bully somebody, there's something wrong with you, too, because you're taking it out on somebody else because maybe you're not comfortable with yourself.
And bullying really comes from somebody that themselves, what they do is they pick on somebody that they think is weaker than them.
Right.
And they couldn't do that to somebody to their face that they thought was not weaker. So they're actually tearing down people that already have their self-esteem broken.
Exactly. And I think a really thing that really made me really want to do it was because I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and they have always looked up to me. And for me to have strangers come up to me and tell me, even parents that come up to me in the mall, or I'm even going to the 7-Eleven or Starbucks, they'll tell me, you know, my son or my daughter had me watch you, and I just think that you really show an example of kindness and humility, and you just show, like, you just, your heart smiles, and I appreciate that. And I'm like, wow. Because to me, I'm only being myself, but when you hear those accolades from other people that don't even know you, don't even, like, seen you on TV for the whole summer, and then when they meet you, they still are like, you know, they hug you, and it's just like, I mean, it's overwhelming to me sometimes.
They don't hug me and James anymore. They don't do that.
Yeah.
They only do that to the movies, right, James?
I still get some hugs, so I'm,
Oh, sure. Okay. All right.
But I mean, for me,
we have somebody in the chat room who's asking how your time was in New Orleans with Shelley and
Cassie and Adam.
Cassie and Adam down in New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
When I tell you, New Orleans, they welcomed us with open arms. I mean, as soon as we got off the plane until we left, we were having a ball. I mean, it was great. I've been to Mardi Gras before, but never on a float. And it was remarkable. I mean, like, they just, the bees throwing, the going out at night on French Quarter. I mean, it was great.
Did you show your, how many times did you show your boobs?
Oh, let me tell you something. And let me tell you, you know you bad when you don't have to show anything to get some big bees.
Oh.
I mean,
some big bees, all right.
I mean, yeah, bees that look like Christmas ornaments. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
So you're like a walking Luan Christmas tree.
Yeah, I was like a walking Luan Christmas tree.
So you're beaming with biggest boobs, huh?
Beaming with liquor and food.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, that I will be honest with you, everybody right now, that James Ryan was one of the reasons why I was a fan of Big Brother. And don't get all gushy on me, James Ryan, okay? But I'm just saying, like, it's like a domino effect. Like, we all are just learning from each other. And Luan maybe thought that I was the best thing since sliced bread. Yeah, hello, probably did. And then somebody's going to think the same of Luan. It's just showing that, you know what? Yeah, we're just not reality people. We're just not, like, on a reality show. And that's the one thing I think that we've each done with our own moments is that we're like, hey, this is just not our moment. We're going to take it to the furthest extent. Isn't that right, James? And isn't that right, Luan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And let me add to this. I have to say, when I first got out the house, that James was one of the first ones to, like, really welcome me into, like, the Big Brother family. He was, you know, there for me. I mean, he texted me. He would be like, you know, we would joke. We had a little brotherly joke. And I want to thank
you. Oh, he fucking got me so good.
But I want to thank you, James, for real. Because, I mean, I look at him more as a friend and a family member.
So. That's so weird because, you know what, Luan, that the first person I saw when I walked out of the Big Brother house was James Ryan. And that was in CBS Studios, and James Ryan doesn't remember that, but he's the first person I saw. So I feel like this is like a common ground for Mr. James Ryan.
Do you know why I don't remember season 10? Because Danny Reyes from season 3 in All Stars and I had got shit-faced during the your guys' finale that we snuck back into the Big Brother house with Kacer and performed our own little live eviction. No, we had that video on YouTube.
Yeah, you were like, woo, it's James Ryan, bitch. I was like, holy shit, hey. And then the next person I saw was my brother, and I was like, hey, Steve. Like, I was more excited to see James Ryan, but I did not know about this breaking into the Big Brother house thing.
Well, there was video. We were actually just kind of messing around in the in that front area where the whole live show takes place. Danny and I were actually talking to these two fans, and Kacer was, like, wandering around, and I was making a joke about their lower, like, the robot of Julie Chen and from up there on the ceiling, and Kacer goes, I wonder if the door's unlocked.
Oh, wow.
You know, into the Big Brother house, and he pulls on it, and I'm like, there's no way the other one's going to be unlocked, and the second door's unlocked, and we go inside, and literally this wave of crazy emotions just rushed over me as I walked out
in
that house because, you know, it's just, but Luan, you'll feel this next year when you, or this season, when you watch the show for the first time on TV and you see your backyard different, your living room different.
People invading it.
Yeah, it's so weird. And we went in there and we just, we filmed this eviction where Kacer got evicted for the fourth time.
Oh,
and just
James, you squeezed out again.
Yeah.
You slippery snake, you. I love it. How did you get Kacer to get evicted again?
Well, I mean, just rightfully so.
Oh, my God. that's kind of
fun going back in there. And, Danny was complaining about how messy they were because they had left the house a mess. Kesha went and rung the diary room button, which was just like, you idiot. That sent off the buzzer. Thankfully, everyone at CBS was, you know, already out partying, and there's no one in the control room to realize that we were in there. But, yeah, the video's on YouTube. I think Kaser has it on his YouTube
page. So, wait, you were in my house?
Yeah, we took the two fans in there with us. And we're actually, like, filming it for us, and they're in the video also. It was kind of funny.
Oh, all the knives were away, so it was safe.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like I was talking to, and I'm going to stop stealing. This is the wonderful moment right here. But
no,
when people talk about how in sequester now they don't get liquor and they don't get to go on trips and they don't go on field trips or anything and they're all separated, I mean, that's because of during All-Stars when we broke out from –
I've heard some
Thanks
of these
a lot
stories.
Because guess what? I asked for a Captain Morgan, and they were like, "No, because of James Ryan and Howie." I was like, "Mother friggers!"
Yeah,
can you explain, James? Can you explain what happened with the stealing of the golf cart?
We didn't necessarily steal any golf carts because
Nobody
reported them missing.
Tell
it's
us your story.
Once people notice they're gone,
the problem was
that we had taken the water coolers on the back of the golf carts, emptied out the water, and filled it with Captain Morgan's tequila and then some margarita mix. We ended up at a frat party. I was doing beer chugging contests against these kids. Chicken George was doing belly flops in their pool. And we're getting all this stuff on our cameras, you know, because I had a camera with me that I brought into the pre-sequester with me. And so then we ended up at this clubhouse wasted singing karaoke, and they actually – people took pictures of us, and they put it out on the local CBS affiliate. There also may be some footage of me trying to flip a golf cart that George and I were driving.
Oh, God.
Let's just say that we got put in this room afterwards, and they're all yelling at us. Don Woolman, who, if you've been on Big Brother, you know you're more scared of him than anybody.
Oh, my God.
Scary. He's in there. He's like, you guys are going to lose your stipends. And we got paid pretty decent for All-Stars. He's like, you guys are going to lose your stipends, and it's going to be thrown off, and this and that, and da-da-da. And we're shaking. And then Will is just like, what are you going to do, have the fans vote? He's like, you got the three evilest people in Big Brother history right now and one of the most loved in Chicken George, and you're going to throw us off the show and have cat ladies vote for the winner? He's like, good luck with moving this shit for a minute. That was basically like his line. And all of a sudden we're all like, yeah, go ahead, do it. But,
see, that's to say you got your stipend.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to go into what happened in Mexico. So, because those are secrets that will have to go with me forever. But needless to say, Marcelo slept through all the
we
excitement.
We won't tell anyone, James.
Yeah, just tell us. We won't tell us so.
CBS is probably pissed enough if they hear about this stuff, that the fact that we're actually talking about it, even though all the videos and everything are already out there. But
I was told I could not have Captain Morgan because of you. I was like, what? And they were we will give you a lot of Portuguese wine. I'm like, I want Captain Morgan. And then we got alcohol taken away because Rennie came in the house. So you know how that went. But, yeah, I blame you, James Ryan. Thanks a lot. Only one that was my Captain Morgan.
Yeah, it's funny because fans are always like, you never partied, you never had fun in the house. And I'm like, well, because it was competition. Like, I wouldn't drink before a basketball game. I wouldn't drink before a football game. But that was, like, my one regret that I didn't just like let go in there and have more fun, because those of you that have been out there, you know, with me when I'm out, we have a good time, you know.
We do.
So unfortunately, you know, Big Brother house guests will never get hard liquor ever again or supervised field
ever.
Trips.
No, there was multiple videos of me asking for hard liquor and I got denied. Okay. As you guys could see on, the after feeds or the funny clips that they put of the past house guests. And, yeah, I asked for hard liquor. No. Hell no. So thanks a lot, James. But it was probably for the best because, you know what, it was probably for the best because I probably didn't need any hard liquor. Because imagine me with hard liquor and that unitard, holy shit.
No, I've seen you on different events when you're barely standing. So,
James, you know nothing. Shut up.
The house is stressful enough. And when you get out, you just have to kind of have some fun. And that's I took it upon myself to provide the entertainment, you know, with Will, George, and Danielle. But, yeah, us singing I Got Friends in Low Places might be on my Facebook fan page. A couple of those videos, I put them on there. So if you guys want to find out on Facebook, you can see some of those videos, like us trying to flip the golf cart. And there's a video of Howie in his underwear eating, like, this overflowing bowl of cereal where Chicken George comes up with us. Or Dan, I don't know, there's just some weird shit that we did in All-Stars.
What the hell was going on?
It was because we had an unlimited supply of alcohol.
Dan right, had to be one,
here first.
One incredible time with all of you in that sequester house.
But look what he's done with it. Like, he's doing things, he's making things happen, and he's got three guys in a box. He's three guys in a booth, people. Okay?
He stepped outside the box. Look, he just stepped outside the box and made a booth. How about that?
Thank you. Thank you, Lauren.
And then show go nationwide on network TV, and then we're going to see James on the red carpet, and then he'll be too big to call in and talk to us on the Rad Reality Show.
He'll be too cool for school. Maury Povich, he's not the father. Then what's going to happen? I'm going to have to be stalker of Mr. fucking James Ryan.
You guys are hilarious and slightly insane. You know,
absolutely. That's why we asked you to be on here, because we really thought it was, like, inviting for you to be on the most insane, epic show ever.
You only get one life, and you have to enjoy it. You know what I mean? As long as you're somewhat responsible and...
You know what? That was
chances.
The best thing you said all night. You had a lot of good things to say, James Wright. But you're absolutely right.
That's
do
true.
It. Do it, because you know what? Tomorrow is tomorrow. Today is today.
That's right. That's right.
And you have to go for the gusto, because you never know what tomorrow brings, and you're never promised tomorrow. So you have to do what you know what you love today.
That's
and,
right.
And do what you enjoy.
All, yeah, we all have had a gift. We all had a calling. As none of these guys want to know and realize, but James Ryan and Juan, you guys are just like me. I know. It's hard to take. Swallow that, engulf that. But you're just like me, and I'm just like you, but in different ways, you know? I know James Ryan right now is puking, actually. So I think he's
puking.
Done.
I'm actually getting dressed to go out tonight.
Oh, okay, good. But I'm being serious, you know? You take what you get, and then you kind of minced it out, like... What's right, what's wrong, what are you supposed to do, what are you not supposed to do? And if you don't want none, just throw it in the back burner and be done with it.
Yep.
And what James Ryan is showing you guys is, guess what, even though he's been for whatever, more years than me, he's better known as me. I know, you know, it's hard to believe because I'm super popular. But
you are crazy.
No, but James Ryan, you are just off the hook, and I love you, and I think what you're doing, what you keep doing, you know what, you don't have to be in L.A. Wherever James Ryan is, James can be in Wichita, Kansas, and he'll be doing the same thing, people. It's called heart.
Michelle makes it sound like everything is so wonderful and stuff, but I can tell you guys, like, this whole lifestyle, it's, you know, it's fun, but it is a lot of hard work. And there have been times where, you know, during certain situations, I'll be down for like $12 in my bank account, and you're sitting there and you're like, man, is this really the right thing? I left a great corporate job a while ago with lots of money and corporate benefits and a corporate car and all this stuff. But then it's like, boom, then your next checks come in. And that's why what's taught me to just save so much now, so I don't have those moments anymore. But it's one of those things where, I mean, there's something you want to do, you just got to kind of go for it, and it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be rough, and I don't even consider these things right now a quote-unquote major success. It's just, everything else is just one little step, and, you know, Luan can attest to that as well. Everything is just one little step towards
oh,
that
yeah.
next one.
Yep. Sure
but you
is.
Keep trucking. right?
You have to. No one's going to do it for you.
That's
exactly.
All you can do, you know?
Nobody's going to do it for me.
Absolutely. And James brought up a great point, and I'll be honest, I've had a couple bucks in my checking account, but, you know, that just makes a point. We're just like you guys. We are. We fart. We happy. We're sad. We're whatever. But you know what? We're making the best, and we're trying to do whatever we can do with our name. And that's just showing you right now with James and LaJuan calling in right now, letting you guys know that, hey, have our back. Because we're just like you guys. We might have a little bit of an edge, but we're not giving up. Because we could be the ones that give up and say, you know what, we can't do this anymore. But we're not going to do that. You know, we're not going to do that. Because we have a lot of people that have our back, and that's the thing. You guys don't realize it out there, and I'm sure James and LaJuan, you guys can attest to this, but the support that you guys give me individually, James individually, LaJuan, and then as a group, you guys don't realize how much you do for us. Isn't that right, James?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anyone likes, you know, that type of support, but this whole thing about going for it is whether it's you're going for the entertainment field or you're going for, you know, that next job interview or promotion, you just got to give 110% and just, you can't expect help. You can't expect people to be there for you. You just got to kind of bust your ass and, you know, hope that your hard work is what's going to pay off. But it does help when you have, you know, people, you know, like your Twitter followers and Facebook friends that are there, you know, supporting you, like what Michelle was talking about. That
giving
stuff,
you weather reports.
Yeah, you know, and obviously LaJuan has like 400,000 Twitter followers or something like that.
Hey, James, LaJuan is like a newbie. He's the newbie one. But I'm like the little guy compared to the two of you guys. So I'm just thankful for you guys to be coming on, supporting my show and supporting Ron. Because I know, James, you had the privilege to meet and talk to Ron. And unfortunately, LaJuan, you just know about him. And that's why I keep this going. And I keep this going because of things I've done in my life. And I know where my road lies. And unfortunately, there's certain things that I can't fix, like money in my bank, but I know where I'm supposed to go. And if you guys are willing to come on the bandwagon, amen, because unfortunately, James and Juan, you're on my bandwagon. You know, whether you want to be on or not, but you guys know what I'm saying. Like, somebody gave you the opportunity. I'm taking that, and I'm making it huge, like Ron. What a great guy he was. Amazing. And I would never be here right now talking to James and talking to LaJuan without this man giving me the opportunity. And unfortunately, he's passed. But what I did is I said, you know what? I'm nothing, but I'm going to make something of this. Just like anybody in life. You know what? We're just a minuscule of this world. It's what you can take and make of it. And you know what? That's the most important thing.
Oh, hey, yeah. I wanted to ask, LaJuan, you're still out in L.A. right now?
Yeah, I'm in L.A. Yeah, I'm still in L.A.
Are you not going to go down to Temecula?
You know what? Everybody just asked me about that. I am. I'm going to go to Temecula. I just got to do some things first, but I'm going. I'm going to go.
All right. Hey, Michelle, I wanted to let you know that you did get a couple more contributions from our chatters tonight
nice.
So I wanted to update you on that live.
Well,
thanks
that's
to,
great.
Uh,
and I hope you guys all, and James and LaJuan, seeing that you guys are now, I hope you guys tune in to Superpass tomorrow at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, for the day in the life of Michelle Costa. I will actually be it'll actually be pictures of the day in the life of me, and I hope you guys really tune in because the pictures are fantastic, and no, they're not G-rated, and there's a lot of James and LaJuan.
What do you think about your award?
And since you brought up the Reality Rally, I'm going to play a quick clip, and we'll be right back.
Fantastic. The fabulous Reality Rally at Temecula, California, that is being run by the fantastic, just amazing, Jillian Larson of Survivor.
Thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys.
Hey, Jillian, I'm so glad. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The weekend event is April 13th, 14th, and 15th. So the weekend itself is just totally amazing.
Amazing event last April, and we're doing it again in April, and there's something in it for you, for everybody. You can come and play a four-hour amazing race game, three fun, enthusiastic people paired with a reality star. You can sponsor, donate, fundraise, volunteer, party, watch for free. There's something in it for everybody. Come on down, check it out, realityrally.com. Thank you all.
What a great cause that is, right, Cherry?
It is a great cause. And
that's a great, I don't know, James, are you going, James?
No, I'm not going out for that one.
What is your next event so people know, like, what is the next thing that you're doing, or is there something that you want to tell people that's going on right now that you want to talk about?
I don't have anything that I'm, quote-unquote, pimping right now that I can talk about. But just
sounds like another episode of Manic Mondays with James Ryan.
The Reality Rally is really a good event. It's one of those ones that I wish I could make it to, so I could get asked about Sarah over and over and over again. It's a great event, and I think that you guys are going to have a lot of fun. So
James,
if anyone was thinking about donating for me, give it to the Juan and Michelle.
Get it on the record. We didn't ask you here.
No, I know that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, James, I just want to be the first one to say thank you so much for taking the time out, because, first off, you're, like, super popular, and, like, you're James Ryan, and you're kind of cute. And is there anything else you want to say to the listeners? Because I'll tell you one thing. You have brought some new listeners on tonight, and we just love to know what you're doing. And when you're taking your clothes off, no pun intended. I'm just saying that, you know, it's for good causes. So are you going to plan on
doing
any of that?
What are you doing for your next birthday party?
Yeah,
James,
what's going on in the future?
James, make sure you tell Michelle Cassia how cute she is. Come on now.
I'm just going to try to take all this in. This is hilarious. The next Michelle Cassia, first of all, knows. She has her little admirers out there. She's just, you know, fishing for compliments right now, so I am not going to be that paid on the line. But,
shut up, James. Come on.
She's married to LaJuan. What else is she looking for?
Good point.
Next birthday party, I'm not sure. I'm doing an event or helping set up an event with that Charity for Life that I was talking about. Hold on real quick. When's the next Charity for Life event?
March 27th.
Yeah, there's one. There's one coming up on March 27th that helping out with here in Chicago. We're shooting another episode on the 21st that we're at Epic Restaurant and Lounge here in Chicago. Shooting another episode of Three Guys in a Booth, and that's the one that Jeff is going to be guest hosting at. So he'll be talking about his charity stuff. And I guess that's the stuff that's coming up in the near future. Other than that, I'm just trying to get rich.
Hey, James.
I know that's right.
Get rich, bitch. Yeah.
James, was that Sarah in the background?
Oh, God. That's a hard. I'm sorry, James. Like,
no,
I don't
sister.
Even know
just
what's
kidding.
Going on. But let's hang up on that caller. Anyway. That's funny. James, thank you so much for taking the time out. And we just want to let you know here on Manic Mondays, if you ever have anything that's going on, Three Guys in the Box, Three Guys in the Booth, Three Guys in my box, whatever, it doesn't matter. We want you on here to discuss. We want you on here. James, I know you love me deep down inside. I know. There's a little space in that James Reinhardt for me, I swear. But we thank you so much, James, because you are honestly like what people look up to that are BB fans and
serial killers.
No, seriously, because you have always been up in the front street, always putting out good vibes, and that's what I'm about, and I know Luan. And
yeah.
We really thank you for doing what you do, because you know what? There's nobody else that's going to do it but you, and it's bullshit when people say, oh, this, you know, maybe this time, next time. You keep doing it every time I hear or talk about or whatever. You're putting it out there, so thank you so much, James.
Once again, I appreciate all these kind words. I'm just hoping you haven't confused me with another James who was on Big Brother. And I had a lot of fun coming on your show. I mean, it was a good time. It was nice catching up with you, catching up with Luan, talking to your wonderful co-hosts.
Thank you, James. And I'll repeat what Michelle said. If you ever have anything you want to promote, you're always welcome to come back on the Rad Reality Show, Manic Monday, and share it with our listeners, share it with your fans. We'll promote it as much as we possibly can. Our phone lines are always open to you, babe.
And don't worry about it, James. I'll call you later. We'll have a deep conversation.
But not on Skype.
We'll Skype, you know. We'll do the penis gate. Whatever happens, happens, James. Don't, just let it flow. All right, babe?
Thanks again, James.
James.
Awesome, you guys. Had a great time. Luan, we'll talk to you soon, Michelle. Talk to you soon. Take care. You guys have a great one.
Thank you so much, James. You take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Right, and then it comes to my baby daddy. My baby daddy. All right. So, at least I'm cheating in front of you. Like, this is not going to be like, Michelle, you said to James Ryan that, no, it happened in front of you. But first off, I just want to say, holy shit, we love you. Okay?
Aww,
number two
is
we're so blessed because you actually reached out to me. I let everybody know this. Luan reached out to me because he said he had something to talk about. And let me tell you guys something. He's reaching out because he's doing something. He's making a difference. He's marking his territory like a doggy in a park. And he's peeing, lifting his leg up. Bad analogy, but that's not the point. Guys, bullying. Bullying is so huge right now. It can be anybody. Big, tall, short, small, bald, fat, long hair, long eyelashes, freckles, whatever. This is what is going on every day, all day. I don't know what else to say. Luan, take over.
It's a bad epidemic. And I'm not going to say it's just for kids either. I mean, adults get bullied too. So it's not just kids, but really we got to focus on the kids.
With the social networking we have right now, there's such an opportunity for it to take place.
And if you have a voice that you want to be heard, I mean, like Michelle, she said it best. I can't let nobody speak for me. Never. So if I can take this opportunity to use my voice to make a difference in just this one thing that I believe in, then I made my mark. Because, I'm using me being on Big Brother and just the people that know me in general. And if just me just saying something to just one child or one person,
that's exactly right.
It'll make a difference for me. So
you've made
I'm
a difference in so many people's lives already, just brightening their day and making them smile. And I know when you go on this journey going against bullying, you're going to change many people's lives. And
you know what? I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Paul.
No, it will also change your life, Luan.
Thank you.
I think that the whole point of this is that we could sit there and do nothing and keep moving. But the point is that we have something special. And if people don't realize that, then you know what? It was never meant to be. But to make a difference in someone's life, like, you guys don't know how much I support so much in the different causes I do and how I love people coming on my show. And Luan extended his arm and was like, I want to come on and talk to you about something. This man is making an effort. He's making a point. He's making something out of his life for you guys to realize it. And can I tell you guys something? Like, honestly, this is because of something that happens within. It's something that's happened close to him. If not to him, something that's happened close to his friends, family, and sometimes it's hard to talk about how we get to this point. That doesn't matter. It's what we make of it after this.
Well,
exactly. like I say a lot of times, you can't do anything to change yesterday, but you can do a lot to change today and tomorrow. And this was a quote that I saw yesterday that I took so deeply. Life is like a photographer. You need to get the negatives to develop. Does that make sense? Does that make fucking sense? Because I just snapped it, flipped it, and I rub it down, and I said, oh, no. Life is like a photographer. You need the negatives to develop.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
And I mean, oh, girl, you got me speechless on that one.
Hey, snap it.
I mean, girl, you.
That's deep.
Isn't that the truth, though? Think about
that's
that.
That's a great quote. That's a great quote.
Think about
quote.
That.
It's great. And I mean, like you said, and Paul, when you asked me, have I ever been bullied? And, I mean, I'm not embarrassed even if I was bullied, but I appreciate you asking me that. Because that's the first question that someone's going to always ask me. And to tell you, and I can proudly tell you no, but I understand bullying as well because, like Michelle said, I know people that are bullied or being bullied, and it tears my heart because I know that I was different. I know that. And to sit up here and tell somebody that's being bullied or even a bully to say, oh, I like you, or, you know, yeah, you different, but you're different. But what's that? What do you mean I'm different? You make other people happy. But how, don't you want to know how I got to that point? Because it wasn't by, I mean, I'm not going to say I've always been a good guy, because, I mean, you know, but it came a point in my life where, you know, I know within myself that I make people happy, and I make them smile, and I know that was a gift. So guess what? My goal was to, if I can make one person smile a day, I've made my mark every day.
And you always make people smile every day.
And I just want to say, as I see the time clicking down, I promised Michelle a clip that's a minute and a half, just to let you know, Jerry.
Okay.
I have to run
myself. No, Luan, Mr. Luan, stay on. Let's, if you can, that would be great. Let's play the clip. If that's okay with you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
all
let's
right.
Do this.
Michelle, this goes way back to a couple of weeks into BB11, so it was an earlier show with you and Ron.
Okay.
Michelle.
What up, Ron? How are you?
I'm doing just great. How about you?
Just another manic Monday with Michelle and Ron.
That's right. Hey, guys, if you guys are hearing us, if not, Tell the chat room to refresh because I had to restart the show again. I don't know.
We have a problem with Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, you know, computer technology sometimes. I
heard they were having problems all day, so.
They were having issues. The maintenance has been down, so. Yeah, I thought maybe we would have some issues. Thank you for being in the chat room. You guys, this is a great opportunity to call in and talk to Michelle.
I just want to thank Ronnie for taking care of all this and always being there every week to make sure everything's going right with technical support and everything else. So thank you, Ronnie.
No, you know what? I think
you love that I call you Ronnie, too.
I was just scary. I was ignoring you. But I was going to tell you thank you, too, because this helps me out in the long run and brings in lots of new people. And this was my goal as for the show and for, like, April show on Tuesday night. But anyways, I wanted to make sure you guys know the number to call in. The number to call in, it's 347-237-5506. So I want you guys to call in. We want to hear from you. The show is for you guys. Michelle.
Michelle, do you remember calling him Ronnie?
I called him Ronnie a lot, actually.
It was, yeah.
I really liked that. That was a really great clip because you want to know what? That was like early on. We're talking about like 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
July 20th, 2009, 2.5.
Go on. Like, I'm just so, like, I really wish that you were able to have an interaction with Ron. You know, you've been such a, one of our biggest guests, I'd say, Paul, Cherry, if I'm not speaking out of context, I'd say probably one of our biggest guests.
Absolutely.
Throughout the couple of years. Yeah. And, oh, gosh, you would have just adored Ron, Lauren.
From what I hear, I know I would have.
You would have. And that's why I keep doing this, you know. Like, people laugh at me and they joke and, ha-ha, Michelle's been drinking the wine. Yeah, bitches, I have. I've been doing this, you know, continuous.
Yep.
With sometimes going like, oh my God, like, am I going to be able to stick to the values, to stick to the point? Do I know what I'm doing? Am I meant for this? Am I supposed to be here? And I truly, so heartily know that this has been my calling, if that's so weird.
No, it's not.
Michelle,
that's good.
Michelle and Lawan. I'm just interrupting because
we're really running out of time.
Okay. No problem.
I need to get some information out here.
Love you, Lauren.
We do need to say some prayers for Marion David's little 2-year-old Savannah. She's going to be having surgery, and she's a 2-year-old who's going to be having some massive surgery, so please keep her in your prayers. And
absolutely, and for Ronnie as well. I don't know if you guys know, Ronnie had open heart, but he had heart surgery.
Yes, I was going to say Ronnie.
Ronnie had heart surgery, so.
And
that's just a really tough thing for me to deal with. So you go ahead, Jerry.
Lisa Cruz and her mom. Her mom is very sick with cancer, and our friend Dina, who's a regular in our chat room, her stepfather is very ill and has been in the hospital for weeks. So we have a few people we need to pray for. Please keep them in your prayers. And I'm going to close the show as I always do with Ron.
We love you, Lawan.
I love you all more.
Thank you so very much for calling in. We always love to hear your voice, Lawan. Thank you so very much for keeping us informed and letting us know what you're doing.
I definitely will. Oh, definitely, definitely.
It's been a pleasure, babe.
You guys are my rock. You know that. Love you all to peace.
Thank you so much. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as I always do. You guys take care. Join us on Thursday for our Reality Roundtable show at 10 p.m. Eastern. Here is Ron.
So thank you guys for stopping in. But I do want to say some other stuff real quick. I was thinking about, like, today, about how much we've had so many people that have been faithful callers to our show. But I thank everyone that has been part of the show and is still part of the show. But I want to say thank you to you guys. And the reality, people, that, you know, I do this for you guys, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and close it off tonight, and I appreciate everyone. I appreciate everyone. But I'll see you tomorrow night.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
Your name, and they're always glad you came.
guys. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow night. Don't miss the show.
Good night, everyone. Take care. God bless. Be kind to each other. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Paul.